From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, recapping another busy week here in the state where we've got the election results from the primaries, as well as analyzing what the United States Supreme Court decision on sports betting means for Nebraska and our country. I'll be joined by the leading national expert on gambling policy, Les Burnell of Stop Predatory Gambling, shortly. But first, looking at the results of the Nebraska primaries, not too many surprises, but the one surprise we did get was Kara Eastman defeating former Congressman Brad Ashford in the 2nd Congressional District here in Omaha. Kara Eastman took home roughly just shy of 200 more votes than former Congressman Brad Ashford, so she advances to the general to challenge current Omaha Congressman Don Bacon in what will be an interesting race. And outside of that, things went about as expected. Governor Pete Ricketts advanced strongly out of the Republican primary for governor, as did Senator Bob Crist in the Democratic governor primary. And, of course, in the United States Senate race, current Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer advanced also very strongly in her primary, as did her now opponent, Jane Raybould, on the Democratic side. So these are going to be the marquee matchups in the fall. And as a reminder, you can find information on where candidates stand on key issues at NebraskaVoterGuide.com. Not great voter turnout for this primary, but we've got 6 months until we have to do it again for the general election. So please do encourage your friends and family to take the time, just a few minutes, to get to know the candidates running to represent them and where they stand on key issues that you're passionate about. One issue that is only going to continue to grow is gambling, and specifically sports betting. This week, there was the groundbreaking decision from the United States Supreme Court, giving states the ability to authorize sports gambling. And this is generating a lot of attention because some research firms are estimating that upwards of 30 states will legalize sports gambling in the next 5 years. This decision has huge policy implications. And while sports betting is still illegal here in Nebraska, you can expect to see legislation introduced in our state legislature next year to legalize sports betting. And we've already heard from several state senators and gambling interest groups who have a strong desire to try and legalize sports betting here. But this is something that lawmakers and all Nebraskans really need to think about, both the impacts that expanded gambling has on families, on our youth, and what this will actually do to sports. All four major professional sports leagues, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NFL, NHL, and the NCAA, all urged the court to uphold the federal law prohibiting sports betting that was ultimately struck down in the court's 6-3 decision. So what does this mean for our state moving forward? What does this do to Husker football? Is this something Nebraska should look at in order to increase our tax revenue and try and fund more programs or provide more services? These are the types of questions that we're now faced with and should be asking, because the Supreme Court's decision to allow states to authorize sports betting will have severe consequences across the country and also here in Nebraska. And I'm thrilled to have with me on the show today to talk about this the National Director for Stop Predatory Gambling and a renowned national expert on this issue, Les Burnell. Les, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
Les, my first question, just how significant is this decision from the United States Supreme Court?
Well, just to put it in some context, what it does is it allows states, you know, state legislatures to begin to consider whether or not they want to allow sports gambling in their state. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden people are going to go, you know, start placing sports bets all over the country. But it's going to require action from your legislature in Nebraska to approve this. And what's great about Nebraska, over the last 25 years, you know, thanks to the work of a lot of folks there, you know, different constituency groups, but particularly Pat Lunger and her organization, Gambling with the Good Life, they've been able to stop gambling expansion in Nebraska for almost 25 years. It's been an amazing achievement. As other states have gone down this road of failure, Nebraska has really held a line, and it's a reason why Nebraska has been more successful than some other states, particularly in how it builds families, particularly in its ability to have people have, you know, where citizens can have mobility out of poverty. You know, those types of things are better in Nebraska than they are in other states, because Nebraska doesn't have the same kind of extreme forms of predatory gambling that you see in other states.
Well, that's a great point, and that's one reason why Nebraska Family Alliance works to oppose gambling, is because of the negative effects on the family. But this recent decision is generating a lot of buzz, and here in Nebraska, state senators are already talking about trying to legalize sports betting. And Les, what we hear constantly, and we're hearing it even more now, is how Nebraska is losing out on huge amounts of money going across the river to casinos in Council Bluffs. Proponents say we can use that tax revenue to fund education, lower property taxes, and even actually invest more in gambling addiction funds. What's your response to this idea that Nebraska should legalize more forms of gambling because our surrounding states are doing it and we're losing out on huge amounts of money?
Yeah, it's a guaranteed loser for the people of Nebraska, regardless of whether you gamble or not. When you go down the road of government-sanctioned gambling, you pay even if you don't play. So this issue of government-sanctioned gambling, there's no merit to it. It doesn't benefit everyday people. It only benefits the privileged few that run the games. So that's why the people that advocate for this, they can't stand up and say, this is great for the people in Nebraska. They have to make these very dishonest and deceptive arguments and say, well, look, they're going to these other states to do it. Okay? I mean, Nebraska is the success it is, and it's on the right track as a state because the state government is in the business of providing opportunity for people. You know, when you're in the business of government-sanctioned gambling, you are worsening opportunity for folks. You are extracting wealth away from the hands of ordinary citizens and putting it into the hands of a privileged few. And, you know, right now we live in a country where one out of two people don't own any assets, okay? They don't own any property, no stocks, you know, no bonds. Yet the public voice of government in most states is go out and play these rigged games, you know, lottery games, potential regional casinos. So it's to Nebraska's credit that they haven't gone down this road of failure that like Iowa and these other states have that lack the same kind of where people are trapped in poverty. Whereas in a state like Nebraska, granted, some people are going over the border, but there'd be a lot more people losing money relentlessly if the state was promoting regional casinos and potentially online sports betting to citizens in their own state. It's a guaranteed loser for everyone involved, except for the people that run the games. And so if you care about the direction of our country, direction of your state, it runs through getting states to stop promoting these extreme forms of gambling. And in our lifetime, we will see major reform on this. But it's going to take a lot of good work from a lot of good people from across the country to do it.
Well, I appreciate you articulating that point. I think it's in people to understand that argument because we really do hear that a lot from lawmakers. And the other spin, Les, that they try and put on this is that, well, people are doing this already. So if we legalize it, you know, we can tax it, we can regulate it, and we can actually eliminate or crack down on illegal gambling. Why is that not an argument that you're buying?
Because it's true in Nebraska and in every other state. You know, anyone advocating to bring in more gambling into your state and having the state sponsor it, they're not doing this to benefit ordinary citizens. It's being done to benefit a privileged few. So this idea that somehow like they have kind of good motives here to do it, it's nonsense. The only people that win in this business are the people that run the games. And I think it's important, like when you bring in, you know, when these legislators advocate for this, what they're doing is they're creating a lottery class in your state. And by a lottery class, what we mean, we talked about how one out of two citizens don't own any assets, but in the, you know, which I mean, they have nothing to kind of have financial security in the long term. But the other piece of that is we've taken a nation of small earners and people who could be small savers, and we've turned them into a nation of habitual bettors, you know, as a government program. So for those people who want to gamble, you know, you want to do your thing, go knock yourself out. Go, you know, do it privately. You can have your own game, but the role of state government should be in the business of improving people's lives. That's the business of state government. It's not in the business of pushing people into deeper poverty and sticking the bill to all the people who never gamble themselves. Because that's what happens. If you never gamble any of this stuff, you end up paying higher taxes for less services over the long term.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And Les, could you expand on that, what you mean when you say even if you don't gamble, if your state or your local government is pushing or sponsoring gambling, even if you don't participate, you're going to end up with higher taxes and left footing the bill?
That's right. So the line we say is you pay even if you don't play. Is the best research in the country on this is coming out of the State University of Albany in New York. And they're not funded by gambling interests. They just look at the revenues from gambling that states are receiving. And they look at the financial condition of these states. And in state after state, what we see is the states that are the biggest predatory gambling states in America, they're the ones in the worst fiscal condition in the country. So like New Jersey, which drove this case for sports betting, they're ranked 50th in the country. Like George Mason University, 50th in the country, the worst for their financial performance as a state. Okay, so like, who do you think bails out the gambling? When you go down the road of having state-sanctioned gambling, it's a gimmick. It's the ultimate budget gimmick as a revenue source. So like, it's because it's not sustainable, right? The only way you can keep gambling revenue coming in is you have to add new forms of gambling. Like, that's why when you run a gambling house, the whole thing is about deception to begin with, right? So here you are, the taxpayer, you're thinking, oh, this is going to pay for education. That's, you know, all these other good things that they promise. But if the whole thing is a scam, the only people that win are the guys that run the games. And then when you build those revenues into your budget and then they don't deliver, like now you have these budget gaps. Like, who do you think fills those budget gaps? Where does that money come from? It comes from either cutting services. So you, the taxpayer who never gamble, you're going to get less services now for your tax dollar. Or the flip side is they end up charging you higher taxes to cover the budget gap. You end up paying another way. So you pay even if you don't play.
Les, what is it going to take, to wake more people up to this reality that state-sponsored gambling is not your friend? It doesn't benefit you, you know, even if you're not the one going and losing money on the games. You expressed confidence that we're going to see some major reform on this issue. Why do you think that is?
It's inevitable that government-sanctioned gambling is going to be severely reformed in our country over the next, you know, in the coming years. It's not even an option. But if it's not going to happen on its own, if we go out and do the work, it'll happen. And by that, citizens need to go out and say to legislators, we want real opportunity to, you know, we want to give our families the best opportunity to grow and to achieve financial security. So, you know, it's more than just having a job. It's about giving people the opportunity to build assets. And so when the public voice of government in most states, including Nebraska, is a dishonest call to get citizens to go gamble, you know, through the advertising and marketing of gambling. Like, you know, that's what the state of Nebraska does, more advertising on gambling than it does for anything else. You know, when that voice is out there encouraging people to do something that's not in their financial interest, then, you know, you can't address all these other major issues in our society, like providing people opportunity, you know, to get themselves out of poverty. You can't build stronger families when you're encouraging people to go down a road of financial destruction, you know, because that's where the reason why, you know, commercial gambling is so harmful to people. It's not just the addiction piece; it destroys family finances. And think about what are the things that cause, you know, family dysfunction and family divorces. It's infidelity, and the second thing is, you know, financial issues, financial struggles. So like you're having a government program that is contributing to family destruction by encouraging citizens to lose money on games that they're designed to get them to lose their cash. You know, and it's important to note that state-sanctioned gambling in Nebraska and elsewhere, like, they're exempt. These guys are exempt from truth and advertising laws. Okay, so the idea that somehow this is, you know, it can advertise, well, this is a chance to change your life. You know, so that's what makes it so unjust. If we keep doing the work, if people make, you know, people got to include this as one of their priorities. Like, people talk about, oh, we want to, you know, we want better jobs, want more opportunity, but government-sanctioned gambling, you can't get those things unless you address the severe problem in our country and in Nebraska of government-sanctioned gambling. You know, when I was growing up, you know, and I'm not that old, I'm in my late 40s now, but we used to run ads with John Wayne, you know, coming out on camera, and he'd say, invest in your country, buy U.S. savings bonds. You know, when was the last time you heard a politician from any, either party stand up and say, hey, go out and invest in your country, build assets, you know, go out and sacrifice and do what it takes to build something. Now it's all like, you don't have to sacrifice anything. We're going to stick the bill to some, you know, some guy, you know, playing the lottery. We're going to, you know, do gimmicks like casinos. It doesn't work that way. And I think your listeners know that. There's no shortcut to success. It's about doing the work day in and day out. And gambling represents the ultimate gimmick, both from a budgetary standpoint, but also in terms of building financial opportunity for people. It's a guaranteed failure.
Well, this is such an important issue, and Les, I want to jump back to sports betting specifically. What are the concerns for how this will impact our youth, especially young men who are more likely to gamble on sports?
Yeah, so it's a really important question, because Nebraska is a big, you know, sports state. You love your sports there. And what the research shows from other countries like Australia, where they have experimented with legalized sports betting, it's been a huge failure, especially for young people. Because now you have a whole group of kids growing up in a country where, or in a region where they can't, you know, they think sport and gambling go hand in hand. So like a country like Australia, 75% of the kids growing up think that gambling and sport, you know, are in tandem to each other. You know, and so instead of rooting for your favorite team, you know, to win the game, now the kids are talking about, oh, what are the odds on this game? You know, it changes how kids interact with sports. And then once they start gambling on these games, kids are the most prone people to get hooked on gambling. I mean, just think how much kids now are on tablets and computers and, you know, all these devices playing video games. Because when we talk about sports betting, we're not just talking about betting on traditional sports. What's coming down the pike here is they're having something called esports, where esports is when people play video games professionally. And so now they're talking about bringing in gambling interests. Like MGM and these other big gambling companies are trying to bring gambling onto video game sporting events. Just to put it in context for your listeners, there's more people today under 30 years old who are watching so-called esports, which means people playing video games professionally, than there's people watching the four traditional sports combined. You know, so it's hard for me always to get my hands around that, but that's where it's going. So younger people are into their video games, and the idea that you're going to allow video game gambling, you know, allow young people to gamble on video games, like, is absolutely, as a government program, right? Because it's illegal for you and I to do this unless government promotes it and partners with these gambling operators. You know, the idea that we're going to encourage young people to do this is the height of injustice in our society. It's one of the biggest things that's going to hurt people, and we have the power to stop it. You know, you got to be active in it, and you got to put a stop to it. It's a guaranteed failure.
It's very concerning. I think you're right. And Les, what about, you mentioned Nebraska, we love sports, Husker football. For Husker football fans, even those who don't plan on wagering on the games, I mean, what does this do to sports, and particularly for college athletics? It seems problematic that you can have people betting thousands of dollars on, you know, kids, really, on how their performances are shaking out, not just whether they win or lose, but, you know, do they get the point spread? Do they miss an extra point? And should we be concerned about what this will do to college sports?
Yeah, there is absolutely no doubt that this is going to have an incredibly damaging effect on college sports. I mean, you don't have to know anything about sports to realize if you're allowing, you know, money wagering on young athletes, you know, it impacts, you know, they're going to be pressured to cheat on games. They're going to be, you know, kids are going to be exploited to participate in these things. I mean, that's what happens. Like, and the other thing, aside from just college sports, by encouraging this culture of wagering on sports, it trickles down to high school sports. You have these online firms offering bet wagering on high school games. You know, that is outrageous. And so state governments like Nebraska's need to be in the business of improving people's lives by providing people opportunity. You know, give people a chance to make the best life possible for themselves and their families. Promoting gambling is the direct opposite of that mission. You know, you couldn't think of something that's more opposite to that mission than promoting gambling to the people of Nebraska. So, you know, if someone wants to do something privately, you know, you do that, you take the risks associated with that. But state governments like Nebraska's should have no role encouraging citizens to do something that is against their interest and against, you know, building a better community in their states. It's unjust, and you, a person who never gambles, you end up having a lower standard of living because of this, because gambling milks existing wealth. It doesn't create new wealth. So when all these people are losing this cash, as I said earlier, you end up footing the bill for this in many ways, from the lower standard of living and end up with higher taxes as well.
Les, I know this has been a busy week for you, and I really appreciate you making the time to speak to our audience here in Nebraska. So while I have you, my last question for you, some people take a passive position on gambling. Maybe they don't gamble, but they don't have a problem with other people doing it, and they don't care if the state is involved, legalizes casinos or sports betting. Why is this something that all Americans and Nebraskans, whether they gamble or not, should care about?
Because it goes to the heart of who we are as a people. The commercialized gambling, America stands for opportunity and fairness and compassion. And commercialized gambling is the opposite of all those values. And so if you're someone who tries to live up to your values and you want to see your society live up to your values, when you have the public voice of government in your state is about, you know, showing people, ripping people off, preying on people, you know, and you know, kind of creating a culture where you don't have to work for a living, you know, all those kinds of values, that is a society that I know I don't want to live in, and I'm going to do everything I can, you know, and I don't think your listeners want to participate in a world like that either. I think we have the power to provide real opportunity in our country. We're always going to have challenges in society, but you know, if people want to, you know, gamble privately, if they think that's in there, they want to do something reckless financially, privately, go for it. But the government exists to promote a common good to benefit everybody. And gambling is the complete opposite of that mission.
Well, I can't say it any better than that. Again, Les Burnell, National Director for Stop Predatory Gambling. Les, thanks so much for being on the show today and all your work and advocacy to protect Americans and Nebraskans from the harms of gambling.
Likewise. Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, I don't think it's a mistake or a coincidence that Nebraska, according to numerous studies and surveys, is really regarded and viewed as one of the best places to live and raise a family in the country. And a new study also showed a few weeks ago that Nebraska is the least gambling addicted state in the country. And there are a lot of reasons to love living in Nebraska and why people choose to stay here and raise a family here. But I think the fact that Nebraska has taken and held such a strong public policy stance against gambling really does contribute to that. And Tom Osborne, of course, our legendary Husker football coach, also this past week expressed his opposition to sports betting. But what I thought was interesting listening to his comments was he didn't just talk and share about why gambling on sports is bad for the teams, bad for players, bad for coaches, bad for the game. He also talked about just in general, when you drive through states that have a heavy gambling presence, it really just brings the whole culture down. And I think, you know, Nebraska's position opposing gambling is something that we ought to fight to protect and maintain, because it has helped make our state the best place to live and raise a family. And if you would like more information on this issue and other areas affecting you, your family, and your church, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And if you haven't yet, sign up for the e-network so you can stay informed and get timely updates on the issues and empower you with information and resources to make a difference in your community. Being involved starts with being informed, and together, we can create a state and nation where God is honored, marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connections.